Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Talk with Reagan. I'm so excited because it is about to be the Sagan and Reagan show today. And I'm just so excited to have Sagan Morrow here. She is an anti-hustle productivity coach and a board certified success coach. That's all I'll say. I'll let Sagan kind of introduce herself, but we're going to be talking all things like anti-productivity. So it's going to be so good. Hello, and welcome to the Real Talk with Reagan podcast. I'm your host, Reagan. This is the podcast where I'm going to get really honest about how to grow a profitable online business and share the raw truth of what goes behind the scenes of entrepreneurship. I went from wondering, is this what life is all about as an employee, to CEO of my own company, and was able to replace my paycheck within the first year of business. This show is for the online business owner who is ready to learn not only the strategy, but the mindset of what it takes to grow your legacy as a CEO. I'm so happy you are here. Now let's dive into this episode. So Sagan, tell us a little bit about who you are, your coaching, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I started my business, well over a decade ago as a freelance writer and editor. And over the years, what I really found was that I was terrible at managing my productivity. I could not manage my productivity at all. I was all over the place. And what I really found was that because there were so many traditional productivity methods that we'll definitely talk about, there's so many methods out there that I was trying and I was like, why aren't these working for me? And it was so frustrating. So what I ended up really doing with my business is playing around and experimenting and creating these very beautiful anti-hustle productivity methods. And they really supported me in my business as I'm very multi-passionate. And so as my business kind of grew and evolved from there, where I was, adding new pieces and then leaving old pieces behind and, starting to write books and then create online courses and that kind of thing. It really just progressed from there, where I became this expert in anti-hustle productivity and success coaching. So that's kind of where I'm at today, where I do a lot of one-on-one coaching and online courses and teaching workshops and all of that good stuff.
That's amazing. A decade, y'all. That is crazy. I'm going into year three and I'm oh my God, I can't even imagine being 7 more years down the road. So what really got you into this? You said that there were things like this hustle culture where you're oh my God, this is not working. How long did it not work for? And what was kind of the turning point for you? Because I feel like a lot of us get into this conditioning where we're but it has to be done this way, because that's how I get my end goal.
Yes. Yes. And we are so trapped in this mindset of it needs to be done this particular way, right? It's such a problem. Well, for me, when I first started my business, that was right around the time that I was diagnosed with anxiety. And I've also had chronic nightmare disorder and chronic insomnia all my life.
Oh my gosh.
So when that kind of came about, I sort of realized, I just started my business and I was full time with my business. And I really loved the idea of being my own boss, but I was just struggling with managing everything. And I kind of thought at that point, I was well, if I have anxiety and insomnia and nightmare disorder, maybe I'm just not cut out to be a business owner. And so I went and I got a 9-to-5 job and I kept my business on the side because I wasn't ready to let it go. It was really interesting because while I was working at this 9-to-5 job, it was a nonprofit. So of course, everyone's wearing a lot of different hats and I'm also doing this side hustle. And I was almost forced to develop particular systems and strategies to enable me to actually get all of this work done without burning out. So that was kind of how it happened really organically, that I started to realize, oh, it's okay to have anxiety, to have insomnia, to have nightmare disorder. I can have these things and be a successful business owner. It's just that I've been using these strategies and systems that weren't designed with the people like me in mind. And that was the problem. So it took me, it happened very organically in sort of figuring this out. And then from there, once I did figure it out, everything changed.
Wow. I love that so much. I love it for so many reasons, because you said something, you said it was just never designed for me. And I think a lot of the like rules we live by were never designed for us because it didn't really take into account who we are and like what we bring to the table and like things that we deal with like in our real like real life livelihood, right? And so I love that so much. And I love it because it's almost like you're breaking the rules. Like you're kind of like redefining things for you. And that is such my vibe and the people who listen to this podcast vibe. So when it came organically to you and you started like developing these systems, like what did that look like? How did you start to, you know, kind of maneuver all of that?
That's a really good question. I mean, I have, well, it's so funny that you mentioned the make your own rules part because that is one of my core values in my business. That's like a huge driving force to me. And it's one of the three pillars that I teach in my, you know, productivity powerhouse framework and everything. But, you know, when I was looking at all of this and I was like, okay, maybe I can actually be productive, but in a different way. I was also looking at how I could be really multi-passionate because I had all of these different types of things that I wanted to be doing. So I began sort of playing with, you know, if I want to achieve all of these different things in from a business lens and also through my personal life, how can I ensure that they all fit together and support one another? Because I really believe that our businesses should support what we want from our personal lives. Our business should support our lifestyle goals, our values, all of those types of things. Yes. And it can be really beautiful in that way. So I really designed everything so that absolutely every facet of my business has some kind of a connective thread so that it all works in conjunction. And sometimes, you know, when people find out that, yeah, like I still do some freelance writing, I teach a lot of online courses, I do productivity and success coaching, I write romantic comedy novels. And sometimes people are like, how does that even work all together? But it does because of the entire way that my business is structured and within my business goals and values and mission statement and vision, it has these connective threads where everything is interlocking and supports one another.
I love that. Nothing is out of place, which I think is amazing because, and it's all designed like for you, like based on your needs and where you want to go. And I feel like sometimes we get into business and like you say, we try on all of these hats and then we're burnt out and we're not hitting our goals and we're confused and it feels really bad, right? It's like not a fun feeling. So let's take it like a couple steps backwards. Like, what do you feel like traditionally is harmful for like these us business owners, us coaches, when it comes to like productivity and hustle?
Pretty much all of the dude bro.
Yes, bro marketing.
Yes, exactly. A lot of the, you know, the whole concepts around things like you need to wake up at 5 a.m. every day in order to be productive, you know, in order to be successful. You must use, you know, the Pomodoro technique or this particular time management method. There's nothing wrong with any one time management technique, but not all of them are going to be the right fit for every person. So it's all of those types of pieces where, you know, we are almost forced into a particular box by this sort of toxic productivity kind of standpoint. And the other part of it too is the glorification of busy work. So we have this whole thing in our society where we're so focused on working all the time and like being really busy and wearing that as a badge of honor without really thinking about, is this task supporting my larger goals? Am I actually getting anywhere with my projects? And a lot of times when I'm working with clients, we'll do a whole productivity audit and we'll look at everything that they're working on. And there will be a lot of pieces that they're spending huge amounts of time on, but it's not actually supporting them. It's not helping them get further towards their goals or anything like that. So really being able to peel back those layers and assess things and get rid of all of that unnecessary busy work is such an important piece.
Yeah, you're speaking my language because I feel like, just like you said, we get into this and we try all these like bro marketing hats or even like different people's structure for their business without even considering a couple of things. Like you said, does this align with me and where I want to go? And is it actually even helping me get to my end goal? And I think a lot of that, and I don't, maybe you could speak to that as a mindset thing, maybe feeling like, like that busy badge of honor, like how to kind of move through those feelings and thoughts of what it means to be successful as a CEO, and what it just means to like hit your goals. So when you're like coaching your clients, do you like find any like thoughts that come up when you're kind of going through this structure change?
So many. I mean, this is a huge amount of unlearning, right? We need to unlearn toxic productivity. We need to unlearn hustle culture. We need to unlearn the glorification of busy work. And that is hard. And what I find is that with a lot of my clients, they'll get to a point, you know, we'll manage to make amazing progress and they'll be like, wow, this is fantastic. Like, I feel great about this. And then 2 weeks later, you know, they'll be like, oh, this other thing has come up for me now. And so it tends to be this peeling back of layers and really realizing how many things we end up focusing on that are very surface level issues. So what I always love doing with my clients is really getting to the root of things. When we have, you know, when it comes to things like perfectionism, procrastination, things like that, that's information that tells us stuff. So I love using that as indicators, as signposts to really get into, why are you procrastinating on this thing and not that? What is it about this thing, right? And when it comes to perfectionism, like really understanding, what is it about being a perfectionist that makes you feel good, right? Like, why are you holding on to that label so much? What would it look like if it was good enough instead of perfect, right? So like really getting into and really getting beyond that surface layer and trying to get into the root of it is where really the magic happens.
Yeah. Cause I'm thinking like, you know, just in like my line of work too, right? Like when you go and you start simplifying things and things get easier and it actually looks like something you want, but then there's these thoughts, right? These thoughts that creep up, like, can it actually be this good? Am I allowed to do it this way? Like, am I going to succeed if I don't look like XYZ coach? I think about like launch models and just really pushing and income goals and all of these things. And it's just like, where can we maybe take a step back? Right. And so I was really curious. So when you're coaching on them, like, where do you start that? Like if like a listener's listening, there's like, oh, yep, I really identify as a perfectionist and I'm looking at all of what's on my plate and I'm stuck. Like, where's that beginning of kind of changing that?
Yeah. I mean, I always like to, you know, do a full audit and assessment of like, what exactly are we working on right now? What are you working on in all different aspects of your business? Why are you working on all those different things? Like, what is it actually doing for you? Why do you think that it is necessary, right? What are you feeling good about? What do you love doing in your business? And what feels like you have to do it, or you should be doing it, or it's something that feels boring to you, or it's not fun, right? Like you dread doing it. What are all of those different pieces? And really assessing that and identifying, how can this be made more enjoyable? Anything in business can be made sexy, right?
Ooh, like there's, I love that.
there's limitless number of ways that we can do things in business. And so anything can be done in a sexy way. And too often we again, like have that sort of tunnel vision around, this is how I've always done it, or this is how everyone else is doing it, without really thinking, well, just because it's always been done this way doesn't mean it's the best way to do it. Just because everyone else is doing it that way doesn't mean it's best for my unique brain, right? So I love taking that sort of step back, really getting into, you know, focusing on personality-based productivity and learning styles. So helping clients understand, what is my brain actually doing? What feels right for my brain? And what is the best way to structure my business, my schedule, all of those things to support how my brain works and my lifestyle, right? Because again, our businesses should completely support our lifestyle needs.
Yeah, I love that, because it, again, this is so work that is so intuitive, and it's work that's so built in self-trust. And like, self-trust is like my biggest thing as a business owner, because I feel like what you're saying, like we get to this end goal and it's like, oh, I don't even feel better even if I hit it, or we never get there. And I think that language of just being like, what does my brain need to be supported? What does my nervous system need to be supported? And what does my life want? Right. It's like, and it sounds so good on paper, and it's just so hard because it is such a mindset trip. Yes. When you're like kind of switching into that. How, so you said, I love that you said like you can make anything in business like sexy. I love that. I also say being a beginner sexy, like the two of us, we're just vibing out here. But you said there's things that we have to do as business owners that aren't fun, that need to be done. So how do you help your clients, and what's your kind of philosophy on okay, there's shit we don't want to do, but how do we how can we still let that support us or be in a space where we still feel supported?
Yeah. So one of the things I was actually doing with the client recently, we did a fun audit in his business. And so really looking at, okay, what aspects of your business, what tasks don't feel as enjoyable to you, right? Mm-hmm. And then what is it on a scale of 0 to 5? How enjoyable is it? Mm-hmm. What about it very specifically is not enjoyable? So again, it's sort of getting to that root of it and identifying, yeah. Okay, what about this piece of it doesn't feel as much fun? I'm peeling away those layers to get to, okay, how could we, if it's a 2 out of 5 on a 5-point scale where, 0 is the worst and 5 is amazing, then how can we move it into a 2.5, right? Just move it very slightly, because oftentimes what we'll find is that it's these small, subtle shifts that have such a powerful effect. And one of the things that's been absolutely hilarious is, the amount of times that clients will come to me and they'll be like, I hate bookkeeping. It's the worst thing ever. I dread this task. And by doing small, subtle shifts, such as color coding it, right?
I love that.
Pretty. That actually makes them feel better about it. Or doing it on, a more routine basis, rather than doing it once a quarter, doing it once a week. So it's just it takes 10 or 15 minutes, on a weekly basis, rather than being this really daunting task. Mm-hmm. So the methods that we might use are going to look different depending on where that person's actual struggle is with the thing.
Yeah, I love that. That makes sense. It's just little tiny shifts. And do you do some thought shifts too, thought work shifts? Because I feel like sometimes it's just our thoughts about the task that make it even worse. When you say bookkeeping, right? I feel like there's I'm not good with money, or the government's coming after me, or I'm irresponsible. Do you find the combination of your success coaching with this is helps all the little things that honestly aren't very fun as business owners?
Yes, absolutely. Reframing is so important. Doing that thought work is really important. I love working with my clients on both the mindset pieces, because we really need to do a lot of that thought processes, feelings processes, right? Processing our emotions, understanding what's going on there in conjunction with the very tangible, actionable strategies. So we're always doing both the mindset work and the really practical things so that they can really be able to see their progress on a daily basis, right? So it's not even a monthly basis or a weekly basis. On a daily basis, they can actually quantify, this is what I've been able to accomplish. This is how I'm moving forward. And also their brain is making, just these incredible shifts are happening, right? From that sort of thought processing lens. So it's really, really important. We always want to have that balance of mindset and action.
Yeah, I love that. And I also know you do a lot of things where you honor people's energy and all of that. So what does that kind of look like? Because I'm sure it gets into that conditioning of, go, 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 very much on a circadian rhythm of 9 to 5. And, we don't all work that way. So how do you begin to understand an energy and then work through it?
Yeah. So what we usually like to do when it comes to energy management is really the root of good time management and healthy productivity, because it doesn't really matter how much time we save if we don't have the energy to enjoy that time or make good use of it. What's the point in saving 10 hours a week if we're too burned out to actually enjoy it? So whenever we're sort of going through that and doing that kind of energy management piece, again, we like to always get beneath the surface level, get to the root of it. So I like going through a series of, guided questions and that kind of thing. And really looking at All kinds of different things from, you know, the different seasons of life or in business that we might be in, literal or metaphorical, right? So when the pandemic hit, I mean, there was that collective identity crisis, collective like loss of energy, right? And that really affected people's productivity. So taking those types of things into account, along with what am I like throughout the seasons of the year? You know, if I'm sluggish in winter, how can I structure my business model so I'm not doing launches and that kind of thing at that time of year? If I don't have the energy for it, what's the point in forcing myself to work that much harder? Because when we have more energy, we can get things done way faster. We produce higher quality work. We're more creative. We're having more fun. We can then give back more strongly to the people in our lives and our communities and our clients and all of that. So really our success always ties back to energy management and really structuring our entire businesses in such a way that it honors how your brain works, what your energy levels are like. So, you know, for example, with myself being someone who, again, has insomnia and nightmare disorder, I never know when I'm going to, what I'm going to wake up and feel like. I never know, am I going to be exhausted or not? So I really structured my business to completely allow for a lot of freedom and flexibility in my day-to-day schedule.
Yeah, I love that. And I think about, you know, like a lot of people who listen to this podcast, right? They're side hustlers, and some of them have families, and they have their full-time jobs, and they like want to live their life. And it can feel like you're never doing enough when you are going off the guidelines of like a 6 or 7 figure coach, but has a full team and doesn't even have children. Right. And I think capacity is a real big indicator of like energy management. Do you kind of find that where it's like, oh, I'm not even living a relatively life close to this person I'm comparing myself to?
Yes. Yes, everything must be fully customized. There's no such thing as one size fits all. So really ensuring that absolutely everything is fully customized to your unique lifestyle, to your background, right? And your experiences, to your privilege, to your mental health, like all of those types of things are so important to take into consideration. Because yeah, you're absolutely right. Like when we, where we are at with our business, if we're looking towards someone else who has a different lifestyle and who has, you know, been in business for, you know, 2 decades. And, you know, if you've just started, right, that kind of thing, like those are wildly different points in the journey. And so you really need to be able to take that step back, and you can still be extremely successful as a result, but really ensuring that everything's customized to you rather than just duplicating, copying and pasting exactly what you see other people doing because you assume it will work for you.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's a lot of assumption, a lot of copy and paste. So I feel like sometimes we get into business and we think it's a math equation. We're like, if we input this and this, we'll output that. But like you said, it's not like that, especially when it comes to schedules and productivity and how the capacity and our energy. So how do business owners like get into this space of, okay, I'm on board. Like I'm tired. I am ready to shift my schedule, shift the way I do my business. Like how can they get more done without burning out?
Yeah. So a lot of it can be, I mean, there's so many different pieces to it. Some of it can be in terms of just your schedule itself, like reassessing your entire, unlearning everything that you know about scheduling things and everything you know about when you should be working and when productive people work and that kind of thing. So unlearning all of that and ensuring that you're designing a schedule that's perfectly set up for you, right? Rather than doing 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, maybe you work better only in the mornings, right? Maybe you work better by doing a 3-day work week and a 4-day weekend. Maybe you can do the same amount in 3 days as you normally would be doing in 5. So playing around with that type of thing to start with can be really helpful. And again, it always wants to be tied back into personality-based productivity, right? So really taking into consideration your learning style, your lifestyle, all of those pieces, so that you are coming at it from a really thoughtful perspective, so that you can experiment a lot, but you're experimenting with a really good sort of educated guess on what's probably going to work best for you.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I think a lot, again, like one of the big problems a lot of people have is they get really excited about the idea of doing something like a 3-day weekend every single week, but they haven't thought about how is this going to fit my current business model or my lifestyle or that kind of thing. So really being able to think about if that is what I actually want, how is that going to fit in? And if that doesn't quite fit in with what I have currently, then what do I need to change with my business structure, with my business model, with all of those pieces in order to get to that point? So really understanding exactly what it is that we want and then being able to come up with the right strategy to take us there.
Yeah. So let's say like this person that's listening, I'm just gonna make up an avatar, everybody, like has to work a 9-to-5, is like going in person to this job or whatever, and then they're doing their business. Like, where do you go when there's a, like, if there feels like there's less room for customization? Like, where do we begin there?
Yeah. So in that case, still wanting to take that step back to really get at the a very in-depth, very detailed understanding of exactly what you want from your business. Oftentimes when we have side hustles, it's easy to forget about what it is that we want our business to become, or specifically what we want from our business. And so we want to be taking that step back first to identify, okay, very specifically, I love doing like business planning retreats with my clients and that kind of thing. So getting a really good look at exactly what you want, because then from there, we can start looking at, okay, what are all of the tasks that you're working on right now that are not contributing to your goals? How can we take that step back and cut out a whole bunch of things off your plate? And how can we also build in rest time? So one of my clients works at a 9-to-5 job. It's a very busy 9-to-5 job. This client has 2 side hustles because they're very multi-passionate. And what we've recently done is actually set aside like two evenings a week where that time is specifically for doing hobbies, right? Like that's non-business time. And so making sure to build that in, and what that's actually done is really help this particular client to have so much more energy and come back to their business when they are in the workplace, right? When they are like at their desk, to really come back to it with, again, that sort of replenished energies and that really great focus. So really structuring things in that way, really breaking things down, taking away all of the drastic amounts that we overcomplicate our businesses and really simplifying everything, taking away all the unnecessary pieces, focusing on what actually matters and moving forward from there.
Woman after my own heart right here. Yes, yes, yes to everything times 10, because that's a huge thing that I find with my clients as well, right? Is like you get in and you think you have to do like a shitload of things. In reality, when you're building your business, it's really simple what your business needs to get to your end goal. I think it poses the question though, like if I slow down, if I have rest days, I lose momentum, then I can't get to my end goal faster. So I would love to hear your like perspective when it comes to productivity and hitting your end goals by, you know, it's okay to rest. Like, what does that look like?
So I think for a lot of people, thinking about it from the standpoint of when do you come up with your best ideas? For a lot of people, it's something like in the shower. Right? The amount of times that we come up with really great ideas or something just clicks and it'll be while you're out for a walk, right? Or while doing chores. That is such a wonderful example of how by taking steps away from the computer, right? Away from actually just working, we can actually create the space, the capacity, the bandwidth to process things on a different level, to replenish our energy, to think about things from a new perspective. So taking time away from working is extremely productive. And that way we can really get a lot more perspective on our businesses as well, so that we're not so much in the weeds. One of the things that I often find with my clients is, you know, when they come to me and they're like, well, you know, things have been going really well, but now like I'm getting kind of stressed out and I'm like, I'm worried that I'm going to go on the road to burnout again. And so we'll take a look at what they're doing and I'll say, okay, when did you last do a weekly audit, right? Because we like to do these sort of ongoing audits and that kind of thing to check in with how they're doing. And they'll be like, oh, I skipped my weekly audit and I've just been focusing on the, you know, day-to-day tasks in my business. I'm like, okay, when did you last like do some planning and like think ahead to the future? And they're like, well, I've just been focusing on the tasks that need to be done that day. And shifting away from that, right, from being in the weeds in your business, that in and of itself, they'll suddenly be so less stressed. Like the stress just melts away because they realize, oh, I've had this tunnel vision. I've been so focused on this one thing or just getting through every day that I forgot about the bigger picture. I forgot about how this all connects together. And I wasn't taking the time to really review and assess and look at, okay, here's everything I've done that's gone really well. Here's what hasn't worked. Why has this happened? Why has this not worked? What am I going to change about this? What's my plan for the upcoming week or month? And by doing that, by getting out of the weeds, that's where so much really great stuff can happen, where they can do that kind of like longer term sort of thinking and be much more empowered and way less stressed as a result.
Yeah, because stress and acting like a machine is what gets you to your end goal. I'm always like, or else you would already be there. Like, let's just take a moment and tell your brain, like, if all you needed to do was hustle till you like pass out, you would have already been at your end goal. So it's a great time to just reassess that it's actually not even working for you, right? And I love how you said even like taking a rest is productive in itself when we think about the vision. It's like taking productivity and kind of wiping the way of the definition of like all things are productive when you're going with your energy and your capacity and your schedule. I love that so much. So what do you think is like the number one mistake business owners make and how can they kind of switch that?
I mean, overcomplication is a really big thing. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, there's so many mistakes. Overcomplication is a really big thing. And also getting to that point where, you know, again, you're kind of just going through the motions and doing things because you're not really thinking about, is this working for me? This is where it's actually really important to focus on self-honesty. You know, when you mentioned self-trust before, and I completely agree, I'm a huge proponent of self-trust. And the other side of the coin of that is self-honesty and being really, really honest with ourselves. And that is hard. It can be really, really tough, especially because we might think that we're being honest with ourselves, but then when we peel away the layers, we realize, oh, there's some other things that I need to deal with. There's some other things I need to work through. And so by just kind of trying to keep working and keep hustling and going through the motions and adding this and this and this and overcomplicating everything, we actually almost lose out on the ability to be self-honest because we are distracting ourselves from listening to what's actually working. What do I actually want? You know, where's the best way for me to move forward from here? Even if it's not what everyone else is doing or what I thought that I wanted, or even if it's scary.
I love that. I feel like it plays into like the idea that, you know, learning and implementing is so much easier, so much sexier than actually slowing down and simplifying and understanding yourself, because there comes a wave of just a lot of emotion that I think that comes with us, especially when we think about hustle and productivity. I think a lot of worthiness is hooked to productivity. I find that with almost all my clients. I found it with myself. I see it with my community. I feel like where we should maybe go and wrap this up is like, how do we get this like worthiness out of being productivity? Like when you were creating this, like, you probably had to change the way you saw yourself when you were doing everything different than coworkers and then everything different than in the online space. So where can we begin to like separate worthiness and hustle and productivity?
Yeah. So I think one of the, well, if we want to go for like a really tangible sort of action step that people can take, one of the things that you can really do is to start tracking exactly where all of your time goes in a given day and in a given, like, you know, you might do it for like a week. Let's say I love doing it all the time, but try doing it for a week, right? Where you're actually tracking every single minute of the day. And when you do that, you might discover how much time you are spending on things that aren't really helping your goal. And so you can almost, you can tangibly see that your busyness and the amount of time that you spend working on things does not equate to progress made, right? It does not equate to your value and your success and everything like that. So being able to kind of like see that tangibly, I find can be really helpful. And that's part of, you know, that's like one, just like a small piece of being able to get to that unlearning stage of really understanding that, yeah, your time, the amount of time that you spend doing things does not mean that you are necessarily making great progress on things. And, you know, your success, your worth does not have to be tied to the amount of time that you are spending on things. You can get a lot of really great stuff done. You can produce really, really high quality work in a much shorter amount of time. And that doesn't mean that it is worth less than someone else spending a long amount of time on something. Yeah. A great example of that too is the business owner or the professional who's been doing something for 30 years versus someone who's been doing it for 3 months. The person who's been doing it for 3 months, it's going to take them way longer to accomplish the same task or project as the person who's been doing it for 30 years. But it might be a lot better for the person who does it for the 30 years. You know, their end result might be a lot better, even though they did it in a much shorter time frame. So the amount of time that we spend on something does not really mean anything in terms of the value of it and also the value that we bring to the table.
Yeah, I think a lot of us associate time to success, time to worthiness. I think about setting arbitrary goals. Like a big one is like 100K my first year as like a coach. And I'm like, woo, that is going to be painful, honey, when you wrap up, because it's hard, right?
Yes. And it's so fascinating to me how we are so tied to that type of goal, right? The 100K, I want six figures, that milestone, without thinking about why do I want that? Mm-hmm. You know, and oftentimes what we really want is we really want freedom. We yeah. really want flexibility and that kind of thing. And that is what time gives us. And the truth is, you know, we can't force people to buy our stuff. You can never force it. So getting to a particular dollar amount, I mean, you can do a lot of really great marketing strategies and that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, it's still slightly, it's an external sort of piece, right? Whereas we have complete control over our time. And so why is it that we're so willing to focus so much more on making money as a way to achieve freedom when it doesn't automatically do that, right? It doesn't, making more money doesn't necessarily change your whole lifestyle. Whereas if you focus much more on saving time through the anti-hustle lens, right? Through energy management and that kind of thing, you can achieve freedom. It changes your lifestyle. And it also gives you the capacity to then have more time to be able to spend on marketing experiments and sales. And then you can actually make more money as a result. So it works really well in that sense.
I love that lens of things because, again, what we see on Instagram, we have to remember, is a marketing reel. It's a highlight reel. And so I love that when we think about money, right? A lot of us do think, I just want freedom. I just want my time back. I just want to go and see like my kid play softball or go to a movie or, you know, take that weekend. And the lens of, you know, anti-hustle and almost like, I can't think of a word, but like good productivity that's supportive, right? You find that time that you think is in money. And then you can begin to strip away that worthiness issue of, you know, this plus this means I'm worthy, or this plus this means the result I got was worthy. Yes. I love that so, so much. Oh, this was so good. Okay. Before we wrap up with like where they can find you and all that stuff, A, is there anything that I didn't say that you would want to say about anti-hustle and productivity? I want to make sure.
Yeah, I feel like this has been really great. I think we touched on a lot of really good things. There is there's so much more that we could get into. Yes. Maybe in a future episode that we can get into.
Yes, a part two.
Yes, a part two. But yeah, I feel like this is a really good sort of overview on that anti-hustle methodology and just sort of thinking about, like, you know, like you've said, it's really about thinking about things in new ways and starting to unlearn that toxic productivity. Again, it does take a long time, but it is amazing. It's so incredibly powerful and it will change your life. It will change your business. It's beautiful.
Yeah. How amazing to know there's more than just one option, right? I will never wake up at 5 a.m. You got me. You got me confused with someone else, right? And I love white space and big breaks. And it was only through understanding, like you said, like, oh, there can be another way and you can be successful in that way. I love that. So the way I wrap up these episodes is I would love for you to speak about maybe a rough ship you went through entrepreneurship and maybe like some advice around that, like what it took to kind of get through it. Because I always say it's simple. It's just not easy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I think, particular struggle that I had was a brief business partnership. So I've been a solopreneur for, you know, like the 10 or 12 or however many years it's been at this point. Yeah. But there was 1 year when I had a business partnership in the middle. And it was, it ended up being that my business partner decided that he didn't actually want to be a business owner. So we parted ways and that was totally fine and everything. But it was really, really challenging because we basically spent the entire year transitioning all of my solopreneurship brand, you know, and like almost a decade at that point of blogging, of blog posts and everything, like shifting all of that into the business partnership, creating this whole new business concept and everything. And suddenly I had to undo all of that and come back to solopreneurship. And I was excited about the idea of solopreneurship again, but it was a lot of work. It was a huge amount of work to do all of that. And it was also, you know, it was just challenging in so many ways because it really made me question my judgment. Because I figured, oh, I should have known that this wasn't the right fit, that we shouldn't have gone into business together, right? So there was a lot of things around that I was really questioning. So I went through definitely an identity crisis. You know, I was like, well, who am I now that I'm no longer a business partner? Now that I had, you know, I had this vision, I thought we would be doing that for our entire lives, right? And so coming into that, it was so much reflection and so much, you know, really breaking down everything that I thought I knew. So that was really also where, you know, that self-honesty and that self-trust was so, so important. It was really, really necessary because there was a lot of moments when, you know, I had the worst panic attack of my life. I had to call the ambulance, the paramedics had to come because I thought that I was dying, like a lot of those pieces. So really being able to learn to build my capacity for self-trust and self-honesty, that was just absolutely huge. And that's why I would strongly, strongly encourage any coach, anyone in business to really develop those skills. They're skills that, just like with productivity, they never hit a limit. They never hit a moment when we can't develop them any further, right? Yeah. We can always be more productive. We can always be more honest with ourselves. We can always trust ourselves more deeply. So constantly revisiting those sorts of skills and building them up is going to be really, really helpful, especially when, not if, you experience struggles and obstacles in your business.
Yeah, I love that. That was so transparent and vulnerable. And so I just want to be like, Sagan's been in business for 10 years. Like nothing, literally nothing can take away your vision and your direction and your momentum when you like trust yourself and you're honest with yourself. And then you go and dive into your vision even more. Like, I think that's just a testament to like who you are and to how strong as business owners are. And so if you feel like you're in some rocky waters, just like know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel and maybe try out some honesty. Let's see where that can take you. So where can they find you? Give us all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I spend a decent amount of time, quite a lot of time on Instagram and Twitter. So you can comment in it with me there. My handle is @SaganLives. I have a really great one-on-one coaching program called Solopreneur CEO. So I will help you with all of the stuff that we've been talking about today. We've just kind of like touched on little pieces. So I can definitely work with you in that program. You can learn more about that at SaganMorrow.com/CEO. And I also have a free productivity training. So if you liked what we were talking about today, then I definitely recommend you check it out. It's 3 steps to 10x your productivity. So we talk a little bit more about energy management and a whole framework that you can follow for improving your productivity, regardless of what your lifestyle circumstances look like. So you can check that out at SaganMorrow.com/training.
Amazing. We'll have all those links in the show notes for you guys. That is so nice of you to share your freebie. So if you loved it, y'all, you get to take it deeper. How lucky are you guys? Thank you so much for coming on, sharing your wisdom, and giving us a new framework for, you know, productivity and hustle. I think it's life-changing. I think it's life-changing to be in a space where I can get to where I want in a supportive way, not trying to, you know, hustle hard and burn out and hustle hard. And I think it's just life-changing for us coaches and CEOs because, you know, it takes time. So it's good to just be in a framework that's more supportive. So thank you so, so much.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for tuning into Real Talk with Reagan. I hope you are taking what you are learning in these episodes and putting it to work so you can sign consistent clients and replace that paycheck. Now, before you go, I have something special for you. There is a freebie in my show notes, and you are going to want to download it ASAP. I am giving you 3 fail-proof steps to create your first 4 figures as a coach. Yep, you heard that right. Inside of this free training, I'm covering the 3 steps that if you implement it in your business, you can make your first $1,000 in your coaching business and beyond. Now, one last favor. If you love this podcast, share this knowledge with others by either sharing my podcast on your social media and tagging me, or by leaving a positive review so that Apple boosts this podcast for others to see it and learn from it and also grow their business. Okay, I'll see you next week where we dive into more realness around creating a profitable coaching business.